I'm David Schreiner Kahn, and this is Smashing the Plateau. No matter how successful you are, there's probably at least one area where roadblocks are keeping you from fully achieving your goals. Fortunately, you've come to the right place. Every expert I interview on this podcast is different, but they all have one thing in common. They know how to fix problems that keep people stuck. Today, I'm pleased to welcome Michel Bayon. Michel is the EVP of FragMob. Michel and the team are pushing the envelope and disrupting the direct selling industry with bleeding-edge mobile technology proven to significantly increase the effectiveness of the industry's 96 million independent sellers. As a noted writer and speaker in direct selling, Michel has advised numerous companies in the industry on their digital strategy and how to burst the bubble by getting out of the industry's shadow to build a mainstream brand that will endure through the information age. Michel, welcome to the show. It's so great to have you on today.
Thank you so much. I appreciate being here.
Why don't you start off by telling us what direct selling is?
Sure. So direct selling is kind of the largest niche industry that you never heard of, but you actually really did. So there's 96 million direct sellers around the world. It's about $156 billion industry. And it's comprised of companies that sell a variety of products and services through independent 1099 sales reps. So companies like Mary Kay or Amway or Avon or Herbalife, OmniLife, ItWorks. There are literally hundreds of these companies all around the world.
And why is direct selling so important?
Direct selling to me, it has a special place in my heart because I was a seller in the field myself several years ago, and I had the opportunity to really experience what kind of opportunity direct selling gives to people. I call it the last truly democratic opportunity in the world. And what I mean by that is it doesn't matter where you come from, it doesn't matter what your education is, where your family background is. All that matters is if you're willing to learn and work hard, you can move yourself and your family up socioeconomically. And so it's a really great opportunity, not only in the U.S., but we work globally and around the world. There's even less opportunity, as we know, than in the States. And we see that even more outside of the U.S.
So what do you do at FragMob that helps direct selling?
So direct selling, while it's a great opportunity, it can also be rather complex. So companies pay people through compensation plans that are very, very complex mathematically because most of them pay people on multiple levels. So I can get people to join my team and I'll get an override commission on the sales that they make. And so what we do is we sort of go in there, look at the companies, the users' data, and run all the math for them. So essentially we do all the thinking for them, all the analysis of what's going on with their team, what's going on with their customers, where they are in their prospecting activities, and basically serve up to them the most high payoff activities for them to take in real time. So they're essentially making more money in less time and with less effort.
Right, so they become much more efficient.
Exactly.
Interesting, interesting. So you mentioned that you also did direct selling. Tell me a little bit about your background and how you ended up getting into doing this as a business.
It's a wild story. So if you would have told me back in the day when I was graduating high school or getting into college that I'd end up, you know, a technology entrepreneur or executive, I would have balked and laughed at you. I started off my career as an actor. I was a classically trained actor. I went to drama school in London and studied it in university because I was always just really interested in just what moves people. And I found that my first interest in that through storytelling. But then what happened was that got me into digital media and got me into producing digital content and films, independent films and web series and commercials and music videos and things like that, which then led me more and more curiously into digital technology. And then I found direct selling right around the economic drop in 2007, 2008, when I was starting off my first agency. The economy was tough, and I was looking for a way to make a little bit of extra cash. And as soon as I got into the industry, I realized, wow, this is really complicated. And because I had already been making some of the early mobile applications when iOS had first come out, I saw the opportunity, and my partner at the time and I saw the opportunity to really help direct sellers focus and be much more efficient in the way that they run their businesses. And then that led me down a path of starting a startup called Atlas back at the time. But we ended up being a little bit too early into the direct selling market. They weren't ready to do what we were doing. And at the same time, another company had come up called FragMob. That is the company I'm with right now. We were actually competitors at the beginning. And when Atlas decided to move and pivot in another direction, I always found myself still kind of feeling this kind of unrequited sense that I needed to go in there and do something about this direct selling space, and FragMob was doing it. They had actually succeeded in doing it. And I got connected with them through some mutual acquaintances and colleagues. They were just coming out of an exclusive offering with their first customer who had done so well with their technology that they had paid them a lot to not sell it to anyone else. And they were ready to go out and get the market. And we just brought our expertise together. I came on board, and it's been rocket ship ever since.
You know, it's interesting to hear how opportunities develop in ways that you don't expect.
Absolutely.
Tell me a little bit about what it means to be an entrepreneur in 2015. You know, you talked a little bit about your background with theater and storytelling and how you ended up, because of an opportunity in this direct selling area. Do you think that your path is typical of an entrepreneur? Do you think that entrepreneurship is different now than it might have been, let's say, a decade or two ago?
That's a really, really good question, David. I don't know. I mean, all I can talk about is my own experience. And I feel like a lot of entrepreneurs can get very, very myopic. And on some levels, it's great to be uber focused on a specific idea or vision. But at the same time, you got to kind of understand when a door closes or is closing that you don't want to be staring at closed doors or trying to knock down walls that, you know, you're just not going to break down. Sometimes, or pretty much all the time, when one door closes, another one opens. And I think it's because of my background as a yoga teacher and with meditation that I have sort of trained myself, or at least I'm trying to train myself as best I can, to try to find this balance between that strong energy of a businessman that wants to drive forward and achieve my goals and be uber focused with that sort of grounded centeredness and openness to possibility that meditating and a great yoga practice and some Eastern philosophy has taught me.
Interesting. And does that philosophy also translate into how you tactically work with people doing direct selling?
I try. I mean, I realize at the end of the day, you know, that people do things and people make decisions and people choose what to buy and not buy, not really based on logic, but really more based on emotional reasons, and then they justify with logic. We're really emotional beings, and we're driven by our emotions, and our thoughts are really a lot of times there to kind of justify what we're feeling, not the other way around, right? And so that understanding has focused a lot my decisions and my approach toward doing business. I'm very much one of those people that I feel like if I want to do business with someone, I prefer to do business with people that I like, people that I feel like I can trust. That's one of the things that's very important to us as a company in FragMob, is to work with the kind of direct selling companies that are really setting the example for what direct selling can be, and not the ones that all too often are the strong minority, but all too often get the attention for being scams and pyramid schemes and things like that. So it's very important for us to find the right kind of companies that are lined up with our values and work together with them to succeed.
You know, that's such an important point, and I think a lot of entrepreneurs overlook that particularly when business is tough. They think, oh, well, we just need the sale so badly, and not realizing that having alignment between your values and your customers' values is really important for long-term success.
In the long term, it absolutely is, you know, and I can understand it. You know, when you're at the beginning of a business, especially if you're trying to sell something that is brand new to people and that, you know, they may not fully understand the benefit of, and you got to get those first couple sales under your belt to prove that your stuff really works, you might kind of need to fudge just a little bit, but it's a very slippery slope.
It's so true. So speaking of direct selling, I wonder if you would be willing to share a few tips for our audience that you use with people who are doing direct selling.
Sure. So for us, one of the things that we do with our customers is, and our customers right now are the actual direct selling companies, and they adopt our software, we white label it to their company, and then what we do with them is we help them break down their compensation plans into things that are a lot more bite-sized and little tiny achievable steps and milestones. And that's one of the really most important things about it. The thing about direct selling is that you don't really have to have much education or training in business or being able to understand financial models or anything like that to be able to join. But all too often, if you really want to understand the compensation plan, you kind of do. And so our philosophy is, hey, look, if a computer can figure that out for you, why do all the brain damage? Let us just help you focus on the activities. And so we'll break down the compensation plan into bite-sized steps and chunks that will show a distributor in the business that might be brand new, so they can feel a lot more comfortable and safe with what they're doing and not kind of overwhelmed. A lot of the challenge that we see with direct sellers is they get really excited by the opportunity and all the possibilities, and you know, you get to make your own hours and you've got no boss breathing down your neck. The amount of money you can make is directly proportionate to what you can produce. It's unlimited. It's a really romantic offering. And then what happens is they get excited by it, they join, and then somebody comes over with this big giant bucket of details and they just dump it right on their head. And it just becomes this kind of paralysis by analysis. And so keeping it simple, taking things step by step, and also really importantly, understanding that to be a direct seller, you need to be able to sell. And that might be something that is very casual and very easy and light. It can be, especially if you're good at selling. And a lot of things, people get very excited by it. They can build a big team and they can do a lot of stuff, but they can't, you know, sell a thing of deodorant to their grandma. It's like, if you can't get grandma to try a new deodorant for you, then, you know, maybe you should be doing something else. So some of the things that we focus on are, again, about making more sales happen in less time and helping the average distributor make more. So we've been successful in helping the number of sales per distributor rise significantly. I can't share the specific numbers, right, but you know, very specifically with our customers. We're also help a distributor stay on board with the opportunity to really allow it the time and it needs to start to work for them. Direct selling companies have a very, very strong attrition. People get that, you know, that bucket of details gets dumped on their head and they just go and then they quit. And a large, large number of direct sellers will quit, you know, before they even make their first sale. And so what we can do is we help make that simpler and more digestible. We also help the people that are above them and responsible for taking care of them and mentoring them through the business know that they're there and know that they need help. So we create specific reports that we call action reports. And so what we'll do is we'll break down the different points in the compensation plans or points in a timeline in the business where someone on your team, if you're a leader, if they're at one of these points, that means they probably need your help or they probably need your attention. And then we'll pull them up into your face and say, hey, David, this guy, Sean over here, he really needs some help right now. He's in his first 30 days in the business, and if he makes one more sale, he'll get promoted to the next level, which will make him feel good, which will make you a couple bucks, and we'll also help him feel like this is really working for him and so he can stay a little bit longer and really watch this thing unfold and blossom for him.
It's a great example. Michelle, what do you see as some of the key ingredients for great leadership in business today?
Oh, well, you know, I'm focused more on people. What I've really learned a lot in my time in business is that from everything from filmmaking all the way through to today is that it's really all about the team. You know, there no man or woman is an island. Everybody's different. We all have different skill sets. And for any business to succeed, you're going to require, especially if you want to get something big, you're going to require skill sets that you don't have. Everybody needs other people that have different skills than them. And you've got to learn how to work together with those people. A lot of people think that everybody should be like them and that they want to hire and build a team of people that are like them because they like people like them. But then what you end up with is a whole bunch of people that are just like you, and you don't need more yous. What you need is more people that are actually not like you. which then says, okay, well, now business is not just about me and what I can build or getting people around me that I like. It's about building relationships with and learning to appreciate and respect and even admire people that are really not like you at all, but that you really need if you're really going to be successful as a team.
What do you see as some of the challenges around enabling people who are not like you to take risks on behalf of the team itself?
I think that comes down to one word, David. I think it's just down to trust. I mean, for me especially, you know, when earlier on and all the time, really, there's still that bug in the back of my head of like, well, this person doesn't think like me, and, you know, they want to make a decision and they want to do something, but they're not going to do it the way I would do it, so maybe it won't work. And, you know, it comes from fear. Sometimes it can come from ego. You know, this kind of delusion that, you know, the way you would do it is the only possible way that it could ever work. And then there's the balance of sometimes being like, well, wait a minute. No, that actually is not going to work. So it's really all about learning to communicate with people, learning to be able to take criticism and also be able to give it in a way that a person doesn't have to put up their defenses when they get it. Because what you want when you give a criticism is you want someone to absorb it, right? Because if they absorb it, that's the highest probability of them agreeing with you and you getting what you want. And so there's really an art to being able to approach people with constructive criticism.
How important is listening as part of that process?
Oh, that was one of the hardest lessons for me. I grew up as an only child, and so I really didn't have to listen much. And so that was really a skill that I had to develop over the years, and something that I still work on a lot is being able to listen. And I find that people that are bad listeners, it's not that you're a bad listener, you just don't know what to look for. And if you know what to look for, there's so many things going on in another person that it's actually plenty to keep you occupied and interested. You just have to figure out what those things are.
Yeah. Oh, that's so true. That's so true. Michelle, what are some of the things that you have done that really catapulted your business to a new level?
Oh, wow. So for us, it was really interesting. So I came on board FragMob about 15 months ago. We were just coming out of our exclusivity, and we had to put a plan together, build a sales team, start to get marketing. Almost nobody in the industry had any idea who we were, that we even existed. And so for us, we're lucky that the industry, at least in the U.S., is rather compact. And so we really focused on trade shows and on thought leadership. So I managed to get a gig speaking at one of the industry's top trade shows, and then got another gig leading a panel about mobile technology with some of the most respected companies in the industry. And so got an opportunity to really get in front of people with and demonstrate the way we think. The word mobile is actually a big challenge for us, because that word can mean so many different things to so many people. And because what we do is really, sure, we have an app, but that's really the way that our technology is expressed, not what our technology is. Our technology is an intelligent platform that takes data, crunches it, and makes meaning out of it, and then takes that meaning and turns it into action. And that's not a really easy thing to explain to people. You know, big data and intelligent data and making it turn into action is still a relatively new concept, and direct selling is a pretty old school business that is just now catching up to some of the more modern ways of thinking and really understanding what technology means for the business and what it can really do for that industry. And so getting in front of people and having the opportunity to be belly to belly with them and talk and share our philosophy has really been eye-opening for the industry in many ways, and gotten them to say, wow, you know, we really do need to think of technology this way. Because if someone can just open up an app on Uber, flip a switch, and start making somewhere between $20 and $40 an hour, why do they want to join my company and learn a whole entire complex compensation plan and understand all these products and all that stuff if they're not going to make at least $20 to $40 an hour? So we've got to figure out a way to make it easier for them to make money with us. And that's what we do. That's where we come in.
So where do you see the industry moving in the next, 5 to 10 years?
Great question. My prediction is that a chunk of companies are going to miss the boat on this and are just going to kind of wither away. They will be replaced by a kind of new wave of companies that are really sort of technology first companies. I'm seeing a couple of startups in the direct selling space that are really being mobile first, and they're just starting with mobile technology right off the bat, which makes a lot of sense to me because direct selling is one of those businesses that, you know, you don't make money sitting at home in front of a computer. You make money out talking to people, meeting people, being social. And so you want your business in your phone even more than you want it in your computer. So I think the industry is going to go through a really interesting time. I think there will be a good chunk of companies that struggle, some of which will just wither away. I see a bunch of companies that are very, very slow to adopt technology. And with the way other opportunities are coming up now for people to make money on the side that are not direct selling, a lot of those companies are just not going to be able to wing it in the next few years. But many of them are opening their eyes and are going to see it. And I really think technology is the way that it's going to happen. Finding ways to use technology to make the process of direct selling simpler, easier, and more fun is where it has to go in order for the industry itself to stay relevant and for the opportunity to be of being a direct seller to maintain to be something that is competitive with other opportunities. And it will come. That's where it's going for sure.
Michel, what have been some of your biggest challenges?
My challenges in my business life in general?
Yes.
Oh, well, I can tell you one that was one of the most stressful ones. So with my first company where we raised money from the outside, which was called Atlas, we were really struggling to bootstrap the company. My partner then at the time and I were building it all off of our own bank accounts and credit cards, and we were really kind of getting into the red. And we were getting super stressed out and literally got to the point where when we finally raised that first seed round of capital, that first angel round that came in, we literally, rent was due in like 2 weeks, and between the two of us, we had $125 in the bank. So you can imagine the run up to that point and, you know, the level of dedication and commitment and maybe even just kind of straight up psychosis it took to let it go that far. And then to finally at the end kind of come through it with this just like, oh, thank you moment where the money came in the bank and we finally got that real opportunity to take the business to the next level. That was a tough one.
And what were some of the things you did that helped you overcome that level of stress?
Well, I think in that is where good partners come in. And I think, you know, being a good partner is not only about some of the things we talked about earlier, which is, you know, someone having skills that you don't have and being able to work well together. But when you're in a startup like that, it's really kind of an all-in play. And for a period of your life, your whole life becomes that startup. And your partners are not only your business partners, but they also need to be your emotional pillars. You know, we each had moments where, you know, our sort of legs were kind of crumbling beneath us and we needed somebody there to kind of hold us up and be like, come on, man, you know, we can get through this. Just stick with it. We know what we're doing. We've got the vision. People are getting it. We just need to get over this next hump. And being there for each other at those critical moments was pivotal in us getting through it.
Yeah, I think the emotional support's really important. So how can leaders deal with the emotional and the tactical issues simultaneously? Because often that's what you have to do.
I think you've got to – it comes down to trust on one level. So, you know, it's not just about trusting your business partners with business, but if you're going to be in a business that's really that all in – you need to be able to have an emotional support for each other, and if you're different types of thinkers, that's also good because that means that different types of things will trigger you emotionally. So generally, when one of you is kind of weak, the other one might be feeling a bit strong, and so that's a good thing. For me, also, honestly, I've said this over and over again. If I didn't meditate every day, I think I would have had like an aneurysm or something. I don't think I would have made it.
That's a good tip. That's a good tip. What have been some of your biggest successes?
Well, FragMob is definitely ramping itself up to be by far the biggest success I've had. I've had a lot of little wins along the way. in my business. We had a great opportunity once to win a contest, which allowed us to make a really cool music video and commercial for Lincoln Cars that played on the Grammys, and 60 million people saw it, and it was a great opportunity for us that really kind of put my agency on the map a bunch of years ago when online digital content was brand new and Lincoln was one of the first brands to be experimenting there. In my filmmaking days, both of the films that I've made have won numerous awards, and that was always really validating. You know, when you make small independent films, the accolades of your peers are really important. And so that both of those awards allowed us to get distribution for both of those films, which helped a lot. And raising that first round that I told you about before, you know, it was the greatest challenge, but it was also one of the greatest successes. It was the first time that I had ever really gotten outside investors to invest a very large sum of money just in me and a partner. And it was not only the success of being able to actually get the money, but the personal validation that you get from doing something like that, that says, yeah, you know, I really can do this. This is really something that works for me. People do resonate with the message that I put out there.
And other people value it.
Exactly. And that's validating to you, because you need those moments in life to be like, okay, I'm not crazy. You know, I really have value here. I'm really bringing value. You know, let's go get more. Let's go bring more.
Yeah, because certainly as entrepreneurs, we hear enough people who tell us that we're nuts.
Oh, yeah. And you got to be. I mean, all the nuts are the ones that come up with the great ideas, right? All throughout history.
Yeah, it's true. Michelle, what is one of your influencers, someone who's been pivotal in your career?
Well, you know, I've thought a lot about that over the years, and I can mention probably a bunch of specific people, and I hesitate to mention one, and the reason is that I'm a very sort of not a very dogmatic type of person.
Well, you can mention more than one.
Okay. I mean, it'll be a combination of a few things. So I went through a period in my life where I really needed to figure out, you know, what was the next step for me. And I spent a long time in my life kind of digging into the artist in myself and getting my creative juices flowing and really exploring my mind and body with yoga and meditation. But my financial life was just completely not there. And I needed to figure out a way to be able to take the step from that artist life into the business life. And two things really were really pivotal for me to do that. One was a Tony Robbins program called Mastery University, which is basically four different of his different multi-day workshops combined into a package that allowed me to sort of really dig deep into myself, ask myself the hard questions, do the work to get the hard answers, and understand what I needed to do as a result. And that's one of those things that it just continues to pay dividends years and years and years later. So I'm very grateful to Tony and the teachings that he's brought to me, and I've shared it with many, many other people. And the second experience for me was taking a meditation course that's called Vipassana, which is a 10-day course where you kind of go out into the woods and you don't speak for 9 out of the 10 days. You sit meditating 11 hours a day. And what happens is you basically eliminate all input. You know, we live in a world where it's just input, 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 right? Always something to digest and someone to talk to and something to read or watch or play with or ingest. And when you go there, you stop all input, no reading, no talking, no books, no exercise, really. You can just take walks. And so you're just with your own mind for 10 days straight. And what happens is all that input stops and then the output starts. So all the stuff you've been piling up inside for years starts to just purge its way out of you, and you gain really amazing perspectives on your life and what you really want. And you kind of empty out the vessel so you can start filling it in more consciously with things that you want it to be filled with, rather than just all the crazy things that just happened to come your way over the last 20, 30, 40, whatever years. And so those two experiences together really kind of gave me the perspective and the juice to take my life to the next level and try to combine that sort of artist and spiritual guy with a businessman and go out to prove that, you know, you could be a good man and a good businessman at the same time.
Awesome. And why don't you tell us a little bit about what you're working on now?
Sure. So with FragMob right now, it's really been rocket ship time. It's so much fun. So I came on board. We went out to the trade shows. We started doing some marketing. We cold called the heck out of everybody we didn't already know. And we signed up 6 new customers in about 8 months toward the end of last year. And that has really just kind of catapulted us to a whole new level. We've doubled the size of the company. We're about to double it again in the next 30 to 60 days. We raised a bunch of capital, and we're going to be bringing on about 14 more customers this year. So we'll be doubling that number again. And that's really exciting. So setting all of that up in terms of the operational infrastructure that you need to be able to not only onboard this many customers all at the same time and serve them well, which is something that is absolutely number one for us, but to also be able to keep what is really our competitive edge, which is our ability to rapidly innovate and come up with amazing new ideas and get them to market and do them in a way that we collaborate with the market rather than kind of thinking in a vacuum and then coming to the market and be like, here's a new product, but no one told you anything about it today, but now it's supposed to be the best thing you ever saw. We're a lot more collaborative. And so trying to do all of those things at once while everything is just kind of, you know, every week I come to the office, I'm like, who are you? It's like two or three new people, you know? And that's really, really intense. It's fun and it's really intense at the same time.
Wow, congratulations. It sounds very exciting. So it's a lot of balls to keep in the air at the same time, but it sounds like it's really terrific.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Michelle, please tell listeners how they can learn more about you.
So fragmob.com is the website, F-R-A-G-M-O-B.com. I'm on Twitter. It's at Michelle Bayan, M-I-C-H-E-L-B-A-Y-A-N. I tweet a lot about direct selling, about yoga, things I find in meditation, amazing new technologies I come across. I'm lucky to know a lot of people doing a lot of amazing things. And that's where you can find me.
That's great. Well, Michelle, we covered a lot of territory about direct selling, about you and how you have moved through entrepreneurship and your own business background, tips for listeners. I think it's all been great. So thank you for sharing your ideas. Thanks for taking the time to join us today on Smashing the Plateau. My guest today has been Michelle Bayan, EVP of FragMob. Thank you again, Michelle, for joining us.
Thank you, David. Had a great time.
You've been listening to Smashing the Plateau, the podcast produced by 10 Strategic Partners. Be sure to visit our website at smashingtheplateau.com and join our email list to hear many more great interviews like this one. And if you like what you heard, please leave us a review on iTunes by going to smashingtheplateau.com/iTunes. I'm your host, David Schreiner-Kahn, and we'll be talking again soon.